morning. Good to see you guys. This is an exciting morning. And one of the songs just a minute ago, we were talking about how we want to run toward God. And I think that the passage that we're looking at today is a passage that will help some of us figure out why we are having trouble running toward God. I hope it is. That's my prayer this morning. We're in this series on the book of Philippians, where we've just been walking through this book together, verse by verse, just kind of breaking down, you know, what is God showing us. And one of the reasons that we do that a lot more now, especially, is because we want people to understand this is something you can do on your own. You know, we're doing it together on Sunday mornings with this book, but you could be doing it throughout the week, in some other part of Scripture, and we want to encourage that. The passage that we're looking at today is Philippians chapter 3. If you don't have a Bible with you, we've got ushers that will bring you a Bible. So just throw your hand up if you need one, and they will bring you one. And if you don't own one, then you can actually take that as a gift from us. Take that. We would love for you to have that. But if you do have a Bible, Philippians chapter 3 is where we're going to be looking at today. And this whole idea of this study in trajectory is really kind of coming to a head today with this passage of Scripture. This passage specifically today shows us, some things about God wanting us to move forward, to press on, and Paul talks about it specifically. To kind of give you some background, and by the way, if you're new and you don't know this, we podcast all of our messages, so you can go back and listen to those through iTunes, through our website. Make sure that I'd encourage you to go back and listen to some of the messages from Philippians. Maybe start at the beginning and go through. Have a lot of people say that they do that, work out to it, whatever. It's a little weird to me to do it. I listen to them sometimes just because I want to just hear what you're hearing and make sure that I'm not being a complete fool. If you get a chance and it is helpful for you to do that, then by all means use that. You're welcome to burn those to CDs, give them to friends. We don't really care. We're not making any money off of it. So just take it and use it however you can for the glory of God's kingdom. This morning, just to kind of think back thinking back on the book of Philippians specifically, this book was a letter written to a church in a place called Philippi. A lot of people ask me a lot of times, why in the world is the name of the church 24? I'm not a Jack Bauer fan. I've really never watched the show 24. Has nothing to do with that. No, we are not open 24 hours a day. I am not answering my phone 24 hours a day. So for whatever it's worth, the reason that we named the church 24 was kind of a location thing. And really, when we got down to naming the church, it was honestly one of those things. I like to be different. I'd rather drive an old clunky, rusty car than, the car that, everybody else is driving. I like to be different sometimes. And so with the name of the church there too, I wanted it to be different. I wanted it to kind of, stand apart from not just being the same old, and for whatever reason that is. And so we started looking, finally kind of came down to, what do we see churches called in Scripture? Churches in Scripture are called the church at Philippi or the church at Thessalonica or, whatever it is. And so, it's all based upon where they're located. So then we started talking about the area and, this is kind of going back into some vision for the church here a little bit that I don't know that I really want to unpack for you, but I think you can get it real quickly, is that we felt like God wanted us to plant the church here in between Clarksville and Nashville on this, what we were calling, and we hadn't really heard anybody else call it before that, but this whole I-24 corridor thing. And so we had this whole I-24, and it is obviously going to end up here, which is exit 24, and so hence the name of the church. It is not the I-24 church. It is not the 24 church. It's just 24 church, okay? There's no the to it. It's not that special. It's just another church. What makes it special is that we worship Jesus here. That's what it's about, and that's what we want the focus to be on, not on the name of the church. But when we look at this letter and we think about this, idea that Paul wrote this to the church at Philippi, we're able to decipher some things about what's going on. Number one, Paul is in prison while he's writing this. So it's not, you know, it's not your typical, like, you know, happy-go-lucky. And it's not, you know, it's not like prisons are today. Number one, it wasn't like in, you know, bars and all that kind of stuff. We don't think it was more like, you know, chained into a hole in a cave. Was, you know, somewhere in the ground was where Paul was being kept. And we're guessing that every once in a while they brought him a little food. And so, you know, not exactly like the best scenario for even just, you know, sitting down where most of us are like, you know, let me get out my MacBook and write somebody a letter. Not the case here. You know, basically Paul is, you know, doing this thing because God is speaking into his heart that this letter needed to be written to this church and God would use it as part of his word. And it's an amazing thing to think about all that. But when we look at that, when we think about that, I think that it's important for us to take those things into context as we're reading through this. And today's passage is no different. In fact, let's go ahead and start reading. Philippians 3, verse 12 says this. It says, "Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained." Love the sounds of babies. Aren't babies awesome? We have tons of them. We took a group last night to a church and hung out. It's a big church. It's a friend of mine's a pastor there, and we just were wanting to go worship together. Some of our leadership and just volunteers, whoever wanted to go. And I think we had more babies on one row of that church than they have seen in a long time. And they have a lot of kids too, but we have a lot of babies. Babies go everywhere we go. That's a great thing. You know, with this passage of scripture, when we're looking at this, we're thinking about this. You know, I think for us to hone in on some key words here is going to be really, really important this morning. I want to just go ahead, I'm just going to go ahead and throw it out there. The key words that we're seeing Paul use are the words press on. Right in the verse 12, "Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own." Now, this verse will own you, literally, okay? If you really pay attention to this verse, we're saying, got a couple things going on here. Paul, right off the bat, is saying, "Not that I have already obtained this, I'm already perfect." And basically, Paul's just kind of reminding this church, you know, hey, I know you guys look up to me, but guess what? I'm not perfect, I am a sinner. Guess what? We're sinners. You're a sinner, and I'm a sinner. I think that's important for us to say. And a lot of people say, "Well, Chris, that's not like the most positive thing to camp out on. Do we have to really, you know, talk about being sinners all the time?" Yes, we do. We need to be reminded we're sinners. You're sinners. I'm a sinner. I need to be reminded that I'm a sinner. Because when I'm reminded that I'm a sinner, I'm reminded how badly I need Jesus. That's why we talk about being sinners. And it's just the truth. It's just the truth. You go to a bunch of churches, they won't even say the word sinner. I don't understand it. Paul here talking about, listen, I don't have it all together. I haven't gotten all this figured out. And then he goes on, "But I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own." I told you it'd own you. You see, Paul recognizes something that I think is something that we know, but it's not something that we're thinking about a lot. And that's that Paul was bought. He is owned. And not by the prison that had him, even if they gave him a number. No, Paul's talking about Jesus. Paul is talking about the gospel. He's talking about the cross. He's talking about what that Jesus did on the cross, paid the penalty for his sin that he deserved. And he's saying, "But I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own." Someone after first service was just coming up, they're just praying with me. I know they wouldn't mind me saying because I'm not sharing who it is anyway. and they just said, you know, Chris, I'm just going to be real honest with you. I'm really struggling right now with seeking God. I just really don't even care about praying right now. I just don't even care. Somebody I love, somebody I respect, and I still love and respect them. You know, and I'm glad that they were just being honest with me. And I just told them, I said, when I get to those places in my life when I don't care, I think about this. Paul says, I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Again, this is not Paul like hanging out on a beach doing beach ministry. That was kind of like a joke back in the day in youth ministry. You know, between youth guys, you'd be like, well, you going on a mission trip on spring break to the beach? You know, because it was always like this, you know, hey, let's take our kids to the beach and we'll do missions, you know, at the beach because, you know, Peoria, Illinois doesn't need any missions done. You know, let's don't think about going there. We want to go to the beach, where it's nice and easy and we get a suntan. Paul is stuck in a hole in the ground and he's urging us on, pushing us forward, saying, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. He's saying, I don't have it together. I'm in prison. And you know what? At the end of the day, it's because of what Jesus Christ has done in paying for my sin on the cross that I will press on to make it my own. What's he talking about? What's he even talking about? What's he wanting to make his own? Let's go to the next verse, verse 13. Verse 13 says, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. What Paul is talking about here is what he's talking about through the whole book of Philippians. A study in trajectory. Why is it called that? Why is it called that? A study in trajectory. The reason that we've been calling this series a study in trajectory, that really threw me off on the whole pager thing. It's the first time I've ever seen it. we can edit that out. The reason that we're calling this series a study in trajectory is because that's what the book of Philippians is. Paul is writing to a group at the church of Philippi who are doing great things for the gospel, doing great things for the kingdom of God, but at the same time he's saying, I know you guys are doing great things, but don't fall into these pitfalls and keep moving forward. Keep moving forward. Keep pressing on. In this passage we're reading today, Paul says twice, press on. Press on. Move forward. I think that this is important for us. Satan, his demons, whoever is responsible for, you know, messing with our heads on his end of things, you know, wants us to be complacent. Wants us to just be comfortable in life. I'm going to give you a little confession here. I am finding that the more comfortable I get in life, the harder it is for me to long after doing the ministry that God has called me to do. I think that's a natural thing. I think that we, as all of us, as we get older, we have got to watch that. It is easy for us to say, well, I'm busy with this and I've got this and, you know, and all this stuff, and we make our lives about all these other things that have nothing to do with the kingdom of God. You say, well, some of that stuff's really important, some of it's family. Hey, I'm all for the family. All for the family, but I gotta tell you, I'm all for the family knowing Jesus and worshiping him first. You know, I think that we get caught up in this stuff. You know, Paul here, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, is this talking, and he's about to go there and talking about this goal that's out there that we're going, and it's the trajectory to the goal, and we're going to talk about the goal in just a minute. I'm not going to give it to you yet, you know. And so what he's saying here is he's saying, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, he's giving us a piece of the puzzle. I really have to go to the next verse to kind of share what it is. Verse 14, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. That's the goal. The goal is Jesus. It is the call that Jesus has put on every one of our lives. This is so vitally important to our lives. This is so vitally important to the mission that God has given us. You see, Paul got it. He understood some things about himself because he recognized he was a sinner and he wasn't afraid to look at himself in the mirror every morning and go, hey, sinner, what's up, sinner? Looking not so great, sinner. Paul understood what I was just talking about with that song we just sang about running toward God. You know, for us to be running toward God, for us to be singing that song, the truth is that as we're singing that song, if we're real honest with ourselves, some of us are going, you know what, I'm trying to run toward God, but I just don't feel like I'm really getting anywhere. Paul is sharing something right here in verse 13 that I think would help us get a grip on some things that a lot of people are struggling with. Maybe not everybody, but I'll be real surprised if it's not. Paul in verse 13 says, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on. You see, right there in that verse, in verse 13, right there in that verse, he is giving us this little nugget of just golden greatness that we've got to get about ourselves. You know, we get caught up in the past, don't we? You ever seen Napoleon Dynamite? If you haven't, I'm sorry, you should go watch it. That whole movie is caught up in the past. But there's one character in that movie, I love them all, but I love one maybe more than the others, and his name is Uncle Rico. And Uncle Rico lives in a van, a 70s van, mind you. You can paint the picture in your head with the crazy little window on it and everything. You know, Uncle Rico lives in the 70s van, and Uncle Rico is living in the past. All he can talk about is the game that if they had put him in, that he would have thrown for the touchdown, and they would have won the state, and he would have gone on to the NFL, and he is crazy. He's crazy, and he's like in his 40s, living in a van, and he's always walking around with a football, and he's always talking about, you know, and he's like, yeah, oh yeah, you know, I could throw this football over those mountains over there, you know what I mean? It's crazy. And you'll see him, and he's like videotaping himself in a field next to the 70s van, throwing the football, and then like he'll go and get it, and then he'll throw it again, and then he goes and gets it, and he throws it. Why? Stuck in the past. He can't get over, his character can't get over something that happened in the past. And let me tell you something, we're not any different. He said, well, Chris, I'm not living in a 70s van and talking about the game that, you know, never happened or whatever. I'm just telling you, Paul understands something right here that we all need to understand, and that's that if we are not careful, we will camp out on things that have happened in our past, good things and bad things, and they will keep us from moving forward and pressing on to following God's call for us to bring him glory. I think that we tend to only think that the bad things keep us from doing things for God's kingdom. We tend to say, well, you know, back when I was younger and I did this, I made this big mistake, Chris, and because of this mistake, my life is kind of forever this way or that way, and because I made this mistake, I can't serve God the way that I would like to. That's a big excuse, Satan's selling you a lie. Congratulations, you bought in. How about buying out now? How about saying, you know what, forget you. I'm going to go do what God's called me to do. On the flip side of that, I think that we do the same thing with great things that have happened in our past. Great things that have happened in our past. We say, well, you know what? I've had like, you know, some really great stuff. I had like this really mountaintop experience, moments with God. We're like, God, just, I know he spoke to me, and it was like, you know? And because of those things, we start looking at those things, and we start to try to either recreate them, or we try to take everything that's happening now and look at it and go, well, that's not as good as that, because that was so awesome. And really, it becomes like a fish story in our head. It becomes like greater in our head than it really was. You know, God's kind of laughing at us, like, well, it was good for me, but I don't know about, you know, being so great for you. Hot rod illustration of the day. I love cars. Like to watch the shows. Don't watch that many of them these days, but one of the things that I love to watch are these guys that are car builders, building these hot rods, that they'll take something that just looks like junk. I love the whole process of restoration, taking something, reclaiming it, seeing it come back. You know, I just love it. And so there's guys out there, guys like Chip Foose is one of these guys that's a car builder, and he builds these cars that when he gets done with them, you think, man, that is the most amazing thing I have ever seen in my life. How in the world did he sculpt that piece of junk into that? Could take like a Pinto and make it look better than anything you've ever seen in your life. I mean, it's just amazing. He's got a gift. He can draw it on a board. Next thing you know, he's cutting metal and welding stuff together, and boom. Throw some paint on it, and you got this amazing look. You know, the thing that I love about guys like Chip Foose, the thing that I love about guys like that is that they're not like the other guys that build some amazing car and then are just like, well, there it is. There's the accomplishment of my life. Chip, I've never heard Chip Foose say anything like that. You know what Chip does? Chip builds these amazing cars, and then he gets done with one. You know what he does? He's like, what am I going to build next? Next thing you know, he's over here, he's building something else. It's just a completely amazing. You're like, well, that's just more amazing than the last thing. I think for us, so many of us, we get to these points where God might do something great in our life, and maybe it was the moment that you came to Jesus and it was so overwhelmingly, unbelievably great that you just think, well, you know, that's just it. You know, that's just all, you know. And you just completely miss that it's not about like, you know, this one time, you know, well, that was a great thing that happened, and then you just kind of like hang your hat up and just start going to church on Sunday mornings. Man, God didn't create you to fill a seat on Sunday mornings. He created us for his glory. He created us for us to do great things for his kingdom. He has a purpose for your life. I don't care who you are. I don't care what job you have. I don't care how much money you have. It doesn't matter. God has a purpose for your life, and the purpose is for you to bring him glory. There are specific things that he is intending on you to do in your lifetime for him. And if we're not careful, we'll let the things from our past become like, well, there's the accomplishment of my life. I did that for Jesus. God is not interested in that. This verse, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. What is ahead is a goal. It's a goal. I love this verse and love this passage. Verse 14, as it goes on, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upcoming call of God in Christ Jesus. Is there anybody here that would be willing to be a volunteer for me? Be willing to volunteer? Anybody? Somebody just jump on up here. Just whoever makes it to the stage first. You got beat, Terry. Come on up. You can climb there. Okay, we got stairs. We got you do that. Why don't you tell everybody your name?
Ashton.
How old are you, Ashton?
7.
You're 7. That's cool. That's cool. Do you trust me, Ashton? Do you?
Yeah.
Huh. All right. I got something for you, Ashton. You know what this is? It's an apple. That's right. And I'm gonna let you have that for right now. Don't eat it yet. I don't think there's any worms in it or anything, but just hold on to it for a second. And Ashton, I want you to come. I want you to stand over here. And Ashton, you can face this way, but then I want you. Can you hold that right here? Can you do that? You good? Mom and Dad, are you doing good right now? Are you good? You okay with that? Can you do that for me for just a few minutes? Are you cool with that? Okay. All right. And then over here we have Alexis. Alexis, tell us how old you are.
17.
You're 17. And what do you have in your hand here?
This is a bow.
Alexis, are you going to try to shoot that apple off his head?
I will give it a shot.
Okay. Ashton, are you okay with that? Are you sure? Okay. All right. Well, good deal. She's a pretty good shot. She's won all kinds of awards and stuff. I had this picture I was going to put on the screen. I totally spaced brain it this morning, but it's like of her with all these awards and these, you know, decoy deer and all this stuff. And she's like standing in the middle like, I could kill you with this bow right now. But her daddy sent that to me because he's proud. Ashton, you hang right there. Alexis is going to shoot the bow unless, Ashton, you decide that you don't want to do this and you can, there are steps over here and you can run off the stage. That's okay with us, okay? All right? This is the big decision of your seven-year life, all right? You good? You good? We're good? Okay. All right, we're going to have a countdown for Alexis, all right? You don't usually do countdowns when you shoot, do you? Okay. Well, hopefully it won't mess you up. All right, here we go. All right, here we go. You pull. All right. Everybody, 4, 3, 2, 1. It's a joke, Ashton. We're not really going to do that, okay? Are you okay with that? Was your heart racing at all during any of that? Yeah, just a little bit. I thought that it might be. Ashton, thank you so much for coming up here and hanging out with us. We really appreciate it. So here's the real target, Ashton. And we'll see. This was the hardest part in the first service, was figuring out getting this thing to stick in here. Because we want it to stick in here. Good enough. All right. Now, Alexis, tell us for just a second. There are some steps that you take every time you get ready to do this, right?
Yeah.
Like how many?
11.
There are 11 steps.
11 steps.
Is there like one that always kind of, it seems like the one that kind of comes back to you that trips you up from time to time?
The one that throws me is usually aiming too hard.
Aiming too hard.
Taking too much time on focusing on the goal and not enough on focusing on the shot.
Yeah.
Or the step-by-step process that leads to the goal.
Gotcha. I think I heard about that in a dodgeball movie one time where he says throw it through him and not at him.
Yeah,
I think so. Okay. Well, Alexis, you've done this a few times. Do you have, what was like your biggest achievement, greatest shot maybe?
Probably hitting the gold at 60 meters.
Hitting the gold at 60 meters.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, Alexis, we're going to see if you can shoot some stuff for us. Let's start with the easy stuff, Alexis, okay? Why don't you shoot the yellow balloon over there for us, if you don't mind. Go ahead and knock that one out for us. Does it help if I just ask questions while you're trying to shoot and stuff? Does that throw you off in like the steps? Can you? Cool. Oh, back off. 17 years old, man. You got your hands full, my friend. Let's go yellow. Assuming you can hit that. Nice. That's okay. You can apply. That's okay. Let's go with the white balloon now. Let's try that one out. Nice. Good work. Now, Alexis, we've kind of played around. We have a goal over there. The goal I put up there for you is, of course, what you were not going to shoot off of Ashton's head is the apple. Can you what? No, the apple's not Jesus. It's just an apple. Well, that's true. Yes. Okay. I'm so sorry. You're correcting me in my message now. Yes, the apple. I guess the apple is Jesus. Thank you, Alexis. Thank you. All right. Hit the crazy apple. All right. Here we go. What? There's a hand back there. Is that what you said? Yeah, don't anybody be back there for whoever is back there. Okay. Nice. Very good. Did you get right? Did she get it? He's gonna make you do it again. I tell you what, for time's sake, at the end of the service, if you want to come up and hit it again for everybody, we'll let you do that. How about that? All right. Just wait till we're all off stage. Y'all give Alexis a hand. Thank you, Alexis. The reason I ask Alexis to do that is because in doing the word study on some of this passage of Scripture, when we see Paul talking right here in verse 14 where he says, "I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus," the word goal here is actually in the Greek, this word that is translated goal is actually also the same exact word that is used for the end of a race, the finish line of a race, or the target in archery. And you know, and just kind of thinking about all this, I think that for us, I think that many of us, we have no goal in sight. We're just kind of like, well, I'm going to try to be a good person, and I'm going to try to love Jesus, and I'm going to try to go to church. And let's be honest with ourselves. That's not a real goal. I mean, in fact, those are pretty horrible goals. I mean, those are just like, you know, well, I'm just going to randomly try to do these things that seem like the right things to do. And the truth is that for us to make Jesus our goal, I think is something that we have to be honest with ourselves. I think it's important while we're just talking about what we were talking about a minute ago with when it comes down to, I don't know what that was. But whatever it comes down to is for us to understand that we, in pressing forward to this goal, have to set our sights on something. You know, in talking with Alexis about this, there's these 11 steps. We talked about this for a while yesterday. And there's in these 11 steps, one of the things that she made really clear is that we, or that when she or whoever is about to shoot an arrow, that through these steps, you have to make sure you get the next one right, and then the next one right, and then the next one right, and then the next one right. And you can't spend all this time looking back. And for so many of us as Christians, we are completely hung up on what has happened behind us. And because we're hung up on what's happened behind us, we're not moving forward for the kingdom of God. And to be honest with you, it's like the most simple thing in the world. But the truth is that those things are the things that many times Satan uses to trip us up, to keep us from doing the work that God has called us to. You know, some of you are probably carrying some really serious church baggage with you. You know, maybe there's something that happened in a church before or something like that. I just want you to know that churches are full of sinners. But at the end of the day, God has called us to unity together in the church, to serve together, to work together, to give together, to play together, all these things, to worship Him. Because the truth is all of us coming together wouldn't even make sense if it were not for Jesus. So when we come together and people go, "You go to church with that guy? You go to church with her?" You're able to go, yeah, they love Jesus. I love Jesus. We go to church together. It brings glory to God. The goal the trajectory is for us. Just what he says in verse 14, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. For us to just get even a glimpse and just an understanding that God has called us into something, has a purpose for our life, and it is for his glory, is so huge for us to understand that if we don't set our sights on something, we will always hit nothing. And that's exactly what a lot of us are doing right now in our walk with the Lord. We're just kind of like, well, God, you know, and several weeks ago I said something about, you know, if you don't plan it, it's not going to happen. And I meant that because, we're great at organizing the rest of our life, but for some reason we stink at organizing anything to do with intention on what we are going to do for God's kingdom. Churches are not planted by unintentional people. Jesus is not shared by unintentional people. We have to be intentional with what we do with our lives. That our lives will be meant for something, and that something is for the kingdom of God. Verse 15, he goes on. Says, let those of us who are mature think this way. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Paul's just calling out folks at the church of Philippi and just like, what is up? If you call yourself a believer, if you say you're a mature Christian, then press on. Quit looking back. Press on. Verse 16. I love it. I love verse 16. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Do you know what he's talking about there? I'll be real honest with you. The human side of me looks at that and immediately starts thinking about the things I have accumulated in this world. That is not what Paul is talking about. God does not care about my collections. He could care less. Paul is saying, only let us hold true to what we have attained, and what we have attained is victory over sin through Jesus on the cross. That's what we've attained. And so when we're having moments where we go, God, I just really don't care right now. I don't care about spending time with you. I don't care about what you want for my life. I have to come back to this and say, I'm holding true to too many other things in this world, and I'm not holding true to the one thing that I have attained. And the thing that I have attained is grace through Jesus Christ, which the truth is I can't earn it. I can't do enough good things for it. I only have attained it because it was given to me through Jesus. You see, Jesus died the most horrendous death that any of us will ever imagine. And in that death on the cross, he took what we deserved as the punishment for our sins. Now you may be here today and you may not know Jesus. Maybe you've never had a relationship with Christ. Or maybe you've just gone to church a whole lot in your life and it's the first time this is ever like really clicking with you. Let me just tell you something. God didn't create us to fill seats on Sunday mornings. He created us so that we would bring him glory. And what that means is that our lives would matter for the kingdom of God. That people would see Jesus in us, lived out in everything that we do. It's the most simple concept in all the world. But yet for some reason, sometimes it's the hardest one for people to get. And I just want you to understand, God has a plan for you. His plan is his glory. It's that he would be made famous through you and through me and in everything that we do. Satan wants us to be complacent. He wants us to be comfortable. He wants us just to kind of get to a place where we say, you know what, I've done enough and I don't need to do any more. I built the accomplishment of my life. I did this great thing for God. There's no real reason for me to press on and move forward from that because I can just be thankful in that and I can just be happy about that. And Paul, from the hole in the ground prison that he is pinning this letter to the church at Philippi in, is giving every single one of us not just a little pat on the back, hey, you should press on. He is giving us the kick in the pants of our lives and saying, you only get one shot. One shot. Make it count. Press on. Move forward. Don't get hung up on the great things that you've done. Don't get hung up on the bad things that you've done. But move forward for the kingdom of God, for the glory of God. Don't get caught up in these things, but love Jesus. He is the goal. And when we love Jesus, everything changes. Our lives change. Christians really act like Christians. People that went to churches and got burned start to recognize, oh my gosh, that wasn't what a Christian looks like. People that we work with begin to see something in our lives. They say, I want that. I want that, that in the face of adversity, that in the face of death, in the face of loss, in the face of being imprisoned in a hole in the ground, that we would say, press on. Move on for the glory of God. It is because of Jesus Christ, the message of the gospel itself, that we can do this. Paul says so in verse 12. And so this morning, I remind us all that the complacency, that the comfortableness, the apathy, that all of these things are covered by the cross. They're covered by the blood of Jesus. And we can get rid of our baggage. You know, and you know, if it helps you to think about it like this, even if you don't get rid of it, you just quit looking at it. You just keep going. You quit turning around and you quit making excuses. And we start going, you know what? God wants something else. I'm going to quit living in the past. I'm going to quit defining my success off of man's things, and I'm going to start defining success off of God's things. I'll tell you this when we close. Back in the early 90s, the hip-hop movement was receiving a new wave of rap artists and all kinds of things going on there, and it was a pretty awesome time in music if you ask me, metal and rap, because I was listening to both at the time. But at that moment in time, you had a couple guys come on the scene in the hip-hop scene, and one of them's name was Rob Van Winkle, and the other guy's name was Mark Wahlberg. Maybe you heard of him. You see, at first glance, many of you don't know Rob Van Winkle. You don't know that name. Rob Van Winkle is Vanilla Ice. I know every word to that song. Challenge me anytime. Pick a verse. I don't care. Probably not something to be proud of, but there you go. The funny thing is you had Vanilla Ice, and Mark Wahlberg was known at that time not as Mark Wahlberg, but the brother of a guy from New Kids on the Block who was Marky Mark. And Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch, it's so great, you know, saying it now, isn't it? Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch had a song called Good Vibrations. and Wildside. That was the other hit, in case you didn't know. I have them both on my iPod. Marky Mark today is known not, you don't hardly ever hear him called Marky Mark. Usually it's in a joking thing, if it is at all. We know him as Mark Wahlberg. We know him as this, you know, actor and all this stuff. You know, and then you take Rob Van Winkle, who was Vanilla Ice. And the poor guy, he will never get past being Vanilla Ice. He is Vanilla Ice for the rest. I saw him on a show the other day. He's like rebuilding houses now or something. Yeah, there you go. And it's one of those things. It's like, you know, you got one guy, and I don't think either one of these guys would have ever intended, you know, one to, you know, be this way or one to be the other, anything. But, you know, I think you look at these guys, and you've got one guy that is known for his past, and you've got one guy that is known for now. Christians, we don't need to be known for our past. We need to be known for right now. If we are alive and breathing, there is a reason that God hasn't killed us yet. Don't forget that God wants to use us for the glory of his kingdom. Think on the words of Paul. Press on, move on. Maybe you're here today, maybe you don't know Jesus. At the end of our service, we have pastors and friends that come and just pray with people. We love to talk to people about what it means to know Jesus as your Savior. You're going to be tempted to get out of here because you're going to be hungry, and you know that everybody that you're with is going to be hungry. You can look at them and say, you're going to wait. I'm going to go pray with somebody. It will be all right. They will find something to do in the meantime. Maybe you're here today, maybe you're a believer, maybe you're a Christian, and you know that you're a Christian. You don't doubt that at all. But maybe you know that you're living in the past. You're clinging to sin. You're clinging to accomplishments, whatever it is. But whatever it is keeping you from moving forward with being who God wants you to be. And what God wants you to do, more specifically. Because I'll be real honest with you, it's really not about us. It's about him. It's not some self-help. Don't make it into some self-help book of, you know, this is, you know, your best life ever junk. This is about us understanding that we exist for the glory of God. For the glory of God. God wants to use us for his kingdom, not our own. Don't forget that. And maybe you need to come and pray with somebody at the end of the service. That's cool. We'd love to pray with you. Press on. Press on. And we can press on no matter where we are in our life right now. Because Paul said, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Let's pray. God, I thank you. I thank you for buying me. God, I thank you for saving me. God, I don't deserve it. I didn't deserve it then. I don't deserve it now. God, I pray, Lord, that in my life, God, that you would be glorified. God, I pray that we would all just seek that for our lives this morning. God, I pray that we would press on. God, that we wouldn't hold on to things of the past, whether good or bad. But God, that we would take them, learn from them, and press on. God, we love you. We thank you for Jesus. We do thank you for the cross. And God, I pray that as we continue to worship you together, God, as we sing, God, that we sing for you. We don't sing for us, we sing for you. God, I pray that you would be glorified in that. God, and I pray that you would challenge us to press on. We love you, Jesus.